beginning in the 105th verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. I was impressed in reading this the other day. The psalmist speaking the words here, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I thank God this afternoon for the word. It is so valuable to me. It gives me direction in life, and as I heard today, it gives me hope. It brings joy and peace to my soul to know that the word of God is forever, ever settled in heaven. Nobody can change it. The devil can't change it. Man can't change it. But I can stand on this word every day of my life, every moment of my life. And I thank the Lord for the word.
Yes, me too.
The 109th verse is the one that I want to deal with a little bit. He said, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. What the writer is saying here, and what I understand, my soul is continually in my hand. He's speaking of the dangers of life. We're saved, but we're not safe yet until we make heaven our home. But I want us to consider danger for just a little bit, a soul that is in danger. Our soul is in danger. I think about the when we get in our cars and go on a trip, come service. Don't have to be a long trip, short trip. The roads are dangerous. It's dangerous out there. Most accidents, they say, happen close to home. We know that they're dangerous, but very seldom probably. Of course, when we're going on a trip especially, I always seek the Lord in prayer and asking for safety and traveling mercy and those kind of things. And then, but yet as we're actually driving or taking the trip, we don't really keep that thought on our mind all the time that we're driving. Yeah, we know it's dangerous out there. We know that, with so many people on the road today, there's so many things that can happen. We know that, as we come into the winter months now of this year and the snows come, and yesterday I saw a little sleet come down, and things that will cause the roads to be even more dangerous than what they are in the summertime. There's danger really not just on the roads, but there's danger everywhere. And I want us to consider for just a little bit the dangers that would come, that are coming against us for our soul's sake. I want us to be aware of some things spiritually this afternoon. The word danger is the possibility you will be hurt or killed. The possibility that something unpleasant or bad will happen. Danger, a person or thing that is likely to cause injury, pain, harm, or loss. When I think of how serious that it is, that God has given our souls into our hands. My soul is my responsibility. How I deal with that before God is pretty much how I'm going to face at the end of my life, how I'm going to face that. It's in my hands. It's my responsibility. It's my duty to see that I do everything that I can, to be aware of all that the enemy has devised against me, that I will protect and defend my soul by the help and the grace of God. You know, I was thinking this morning on the way to service, not everybody likes to make decisions. Some people, it's very hard to make decisions, very hard to make choices. And I want to say that, folks, a lot of times decisions are hard to make because people really want to know, if I make this decision, what are the consequences going to be to the decision I make? And there are many times in life as we go down life's pathway that things come against us and we have to make quick decisions sometimes. There's challenges that we meet and that we face and we have to make decisions maybe right on the fly, so to speak. Folks, we don't always know what the consequences of those decisions are going to be. But I want to encourage us this afternoon that, folks, real faith. I know we've heard a lot of definitions of faith. But I was thinking about this on the way to service today. Folks, to me, real faith is that I make a decision. I make a choice. That I have a purpose in my life. I don't know what altogether the outcome is going to be. I don't know what I'm going to face. And I don't know what I'm going to deal with. But my faith says I'm going to make this decision because at this moment and at this time, it seems to be the best way for me to go. And I'm going to leave the results in the hand of God. I'm going to trust Him. And He knows how fallible I am. He knows how weak I am. He knows that I don't know His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. But the decisions that I make, I'm going to leave it in His hands. I'm going to allow Him. I'm going to turn it over to Him. Lord, You knew. You know that I had to make that choice. I had to make that decision. Fathers make decisions for the family. And parents make decisions for the children. We have very tough and hard, difficult decisions to make sometimes. But folks, real faith says that I do the best that I know how and the best that I understand. And then I submit the consequences to God and put it in His hands and trust Him that He will work it all out according to His will and purpose in my life. It's not His will, is it, that anyone should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. I don't believe that God is just waiting up there for me to make a bad choice. I don't believe He's just waiting on me to make a bad decision. I believe that He is there on the throne of God today, on the right hand of the Father, to help me, to give me counsel, to give me understanding, to stand by me in my difficult and hard times in life. I believe that He has a purpose and a desire to help me in all the things that I have to face in life because He wants me to make heaven my home. And that's my heart's desire. But in the meantime, my soul is continually in my hands. We have expectation, as I heard today, that Christ is going to come back someday. And the carefulness that we put upon our souls is going to depend a whole lot of where we're going to stand before Him at the judgment. A carefulness upon our souls. I believe the Lord desires for you and I to have our spiritual eyes wide open. Because we know the enemy works in all various ways. We know that things come against us sometimes that we're not prepared for. I understand that. And many times in my prayer I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to get prepared to the best that I know how for whatever You know that I'm about to face. Lord, I want to face it right. I want to face it with victory. I want to face it with the right consequences in mind. But I need Your wisdom and I need Your understanding and I need Your guidance to know how to face those things and really to know how to deal with life in general. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from above, doesn't it? It comes from God, doesn't it? So we need to seek Him that way. We need to search out His ways because His ways are past our understanding, folks. And we need the Lord every day. But we have a soul in the meantime that's continually in our hands. And we hold the responsibility to that soul because it will go to eternity somewhere, someday. Now I'd like to consider the practicality of what we're talking about this morning a little bit. I'd like to look over in the book of Job and read some familiar scripture. This scene has been before us so many times, but I'd like to read it again in the second chapter of Job. It says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." I submit to you this afternoon, I believe he's still doing that. I believe he's still walking about seeing whom he may devour. I believe he's still coming after you. He's still coming after me. I believe the challenges of life produce that effect in every one of us. The enemy would like to trip us up, like to cause us to fail, like to bring us down, and he'll work it in every underhanded way that he knows how. And all the while that is going on, we don't even realize sometimes what's really going on behind the scenes. Job didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. And he said, "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Now we all know from this story of Job that he'd already lost two of his greatest possessions. He'd lost his children. He'd lost all of the things that he'd owned, all of his possessions in life. The only thing that he had left was life itself. The only thing he had left was his own flesh. And the enemy recognized that. And he challenged God here and he said, "Skin for skin." Where is that? How come I lost it? And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life?" Don't we find that to be true? Folks, we can deal with a lot of things in life, a lot of challenges that come our way. But when affliction touches this body, when something comes along and touches this body, that's when faith begins to get a little weak, doesn't it? It's when I'm challenged in my mind. I'm challenged in my thoughts. Well, Lord, you know, can I trust you? Can I put it all in your hands, Lord? Skin for skin, he said. And yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So much that he'd lost his family. So much that he had lost his possessions. But when you come right down, you get real personal when it comes right down to me, doesn't it? When I say me, I'm talking about us. It gets real personal, doesn't it? Because it gets real serious. Life begins to get real serious now. And the devil knows that. And I want you to be aware. Your soul is continually in your hand. I want you to be aware of the danger that you and I face. Not so much in the world, but from Satan himself and how that he will attack us and how he will try us. The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he's in your hand, but you got to save his life." He gave him a permit, didn't he? But he said, "You gotta save his life." When Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Sore boils. Have you ever had a boil? I'm sure you've had painful things on the outside of your body, on your skin like that. He had them on the soles of his feet. He had them all over his body and to the crown of his head. There probably wasn't any place where he could actually lay or rest, elbows or whatever, and get comfort. Because he had these sore boils all over his body from the crown of his head down to the sole of his feet. So he took a potsherd to scrape himself and he sat down among the ashes. Have you ever been in places like that? We've never actually had those kind of things come upon us, I'm sure. We have different things that come up on these old bodies. I would say today, they tell us that when someone goes to the doctor and the doctor says you got cancer, that's probably the most frightening thing that people hear today. But I'm glad to know that there isn't anything that can come upon these bodies that God is not able to take care of it. That God is well able to heal our bodies in whatever it is. Lord, inspire faith today. Then his wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips." Oh, folks, I think about this a lot. When I'm considering God, wasn't it Isaiah that said, "I see him high and lifted up"? Folks, I see a God, the Creator, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, all power, all authority, all glory, all peace, all joy, all love. That's the God I see this afternoon. And I don't want to foolishly charge him with anything. I don't want to foolishly blame anything on God, because Job here, he got it right. He got it right. The choice that he made, the decision that he made, he said, "We receive good at his hands, shall we not receive evil also?" And all the things that happened to him, he did not charge God foolishly. But that's what the devil said he would do. Isn't that what the devil said he would do? He said, "He will curse you to your face." But he didn't, did he? He kept his integrity with God. Lord, help us today. Your soul's in your hand. It's not, in a sense, maybe a pastor or a minister, he has souls in his hand, but your soul is in your hands. You're responsible for it. We're only responsible as far as challenging folks with the Word of God. We're only responsible as help carrying a burden for those that we have among us. But your soul is in your hands. As it, I've told him so many times, I said, you know, in the ultimate end of it all, when I come down to the judgment, you or no one else can keep me out of heaven. It's in my hands. It's my responsibility. It's my place to protect and defend my soul. But the enemy, I want you to understand, the enemy's going to come against you. And the enemy's going to challenge it. And God is going to let it. God is going to allow it. Remember when he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" Folks, do you love the Lord? I'm sure we love the Lord this afternoon. I'm sure we do. But God's going to give you an opportunity to prove that love to him. He's going to give us an opportunity. Love is an action word. God said, didn't Jesus love us? Didn't he go into action? Didn't he give his life on the cross, shed his blood for you and I? He went into action for every one of us. May the Lord help you and I to be faithful for Jesus' sake, for his sake, because of his great love for us. I want to finish reading this chapter here. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that has come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him. For they saw that his grief was very great." Folks, I'm sure some of us here have experienced grief in our lifetime. I'm sure we've experienced some hard, sorrowful, difficult things. Sometimes words just don't suffice, do they? Sometimes the words just don't come. Sometimes in times like that, the words don't really have any great meaning. But just to sit and to meditate and think about life. Think about what it means to just be here, to exist in this world. God has a purpose for every one of us. And sometimes, folks, I don't know about you, but I've just got to get alone and I've got to think, Lord, what is truly your purpose for me? What is your desire for me? At the end of it all, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to be faithful. And yet I've had so many darts. I've had so many arrows shot at me. I've had so many of these disappointments and sorrows and griefs come in my life. Folks, I've got to make heaven and I've got to be faithful. And Job was an excellent example of that. Because I hold my soul. It's continually. In all my decisions, in all the choices that I make, it's my soul. I would suggest to us this afternoon, in all the choices that you make in your life, in all the decisions that you make it for your soul. For the sake of your soul. In everything that you do, make it for the sake of your soul. So I wanted to bring in these fellows here that came. And we know about these fellows that came to talk to him. So I want to move on to the 16th chapter of this same book. 16th chapter of Job. And it says here, Job answered and said, they'd sit around now for a few days and they'd given their counsel and they'd given their thoughts upon things. Some of them thought Job had sinned and that's why all these things had come. But then Job answered and said, chapter 16, I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do. If your soul was in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you too. And that's what they were doing to him. And he was telling them, if your soul was where my soul is, then I could do the same thing to you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth. See, I'd handle this a little different here. I would strengthen you with my mouth. I'd encourage you. And the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made me desolate, all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. I want to read a little more here, but I want to insert something right here. Skin for skin. All that a man hath, he'll give for his life. Do you know we can get into some places sometimes? You can pray. Now, I'm speaking from my experience here. You can pray all you want. You can fast and you can pray all you want. And you can seek God and sometimes God will withhold things from you. It's a test, isn't it? It's a test of your faithfulness. It's a test of your consecration. It's a test of your faith. Of where you intend to stand regardless of what comes along in your life. It's a test. And with that, I want to bring to you the thought of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was in prison. Now, I was reading over there this morning before I came to service when Jesus came down there where he was baptizing and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. He knew who Christ was. But when he got there in prison and Jesus didn't get him out of prison, he began to question some things, didn't he? Didn't he send a couple of his disciples and said, are you who you say you are, or do we look for another? Even when we know, even when we've been assured in our hearts, folks, things can get hard and difficult in life. The questions begin to arise, skin for skin. John the Baptist was about to lose his, wasn't he? They took his head off and they killed him in prison. But Jesus said, remember what he said? You go back and tell John that God is raising the dead. He's healing the blind and the lepers. And he's opening the eyes of the blind. And he's doing all. God is still God. Everything is just like you thought it was when before you put you in prison. And nothing has changed. God is still on his throne. He still has the power. He's still working in the affairs and the lives of men and women. You go back and tell John. You reassure him. You encourage him. Folks, a prison can be a damp and a dark place, and I'm sure it was back in his day. Separation from everybody else. No real encouragement from anyone. And he's beginning to wonder, Lord, you're letting me stay here all this time. Are you not going to get me out? Are you really who you say you are? We begin to question and doubt in our minds. Your soul is continually in your hands. If you don't get anything else out of this little message, folks, don't ever doubt God. You get a relationship, you make a consecration, and you stand by that regardless of what happens to you. Regardless of what comes your way, you stand by that. Folks, we are at a time when we are being persecuted. We are bit by our own family, by our own children. We're being challenged today to be relevant with the times. We're being challenged to get along and go along. Folks, I can't do that today. I can't change where I am to be what somebody else wants me to be. I've got to be faithful to my relationship with God. Be faithful to the Word of God. What the Word of God teaches me, your law is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And what all the world has to say about relevance and changes and things like that, folks, I can't go that way. And I'm not going to go that way. By the grace and the help of God. Children turning on their parents today because they just won't accept what they accept. They just won't go the way that they think we ought to go. And they come against their parents today. Weariness of life. Listen to what Job says here. I'm going to drop down to the 11th verse. God hath delivered me to the ungodly. God delivered me, he said, to the ungodly. And turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Folks, what are you going to do? He allowed John to be put into prison, separated from Christ and all of the disciples. Kind of a dark place, wasn't it? Kind of a dismal place. Things begin to come into your mind. The enemy begins to come along. Just like he did to God about Job. You think that the devil doesn't want to make a deal with God for you? God gave him a permit, but he said you can't take his life. He got the permit. But God's in control, isn't he? Things happen that God allowed. God hath delivered me to the ungodly. Turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Folks, this is the way that Job perceived these things. I don't believe Job really fully understood. He didn't really understand it right here yet. At the end of it all, I believe he understood what God was doing with him. He made his heart soft. And he said, he knows the way that I take. And when I come forth, I shall be as gold. He knew at the end. But right here, folks, he didn't know it all. But he said, I was at ease. But he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me up by the neck and shaken me in pieces and set me up for his mark. Set me up. You ever get weary with life? Life can get pretty wearisome sometimes. It can get pretty mundane. As we get older, we have challenges that we never had in our younger years. We have challenges from our own bodies, challenges from our own life, challenges from different people, challenges from adult children. We have all kinds of challenges today that we have to face. And life can get pretty weary. And Job was pretty weary here. He was pretty weary with it all. And he began to say, I was at ease. Sometimes, I want you to understand something. The Lord may have something for you to do. He may have a place for you to stand. He may have a place, a position for you to stand in the place that he can set you up as a mark. Make you an example before others. He may want to do that. He may want to do that. I remember, and I've told this before, back when I was so afflicted and filled up with fluid and thought I might very well might die if the Lord didn't do something, her grandmother called. Sister Williams called. She said, "You know, you've been pretty strong on divine healing, Brother Larry. And folks, by the grace of God, I still am. I believe God has all power in heaven and earth, and I want Him to do what He will in my life." But she said, "The Lord set you up for a mark. Now it looks like you may leave here. What are you going to do?" You know what I did? I said, "Lord, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die, but I'm going to trust You." Now He said I was at ease. I'm not saying that I was at ease at the time, but I'm saying that the Lord put me in a place and set me up for a mark just to see what I was going to do. Didn't He turn Job over to Satan to see what Job would do? And He even testified and said He was a man of integrity. He was an honest man, and He proved it all the way through. He never charged God foolishly with anything. Folks, it shouldn't be hard. I guess I'm coming from my faith. It shouldn't be hard to trust God, to believe His word. He's proved Himself time and time and time again. It shouldn't be hard. God delivered me to the ungodly. Turn me over into the hands of the wicked. If that's what He wants to do, He did it with Paul. He was in peril of his own countrymen, peril of his own life. He was in all kind of shipwreck and beaten and all those kind of things. God turned him over and allowed him to go through that and face some things. It was all for the cause of God, for the work of the Lord, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and be exalted. Even back in Paul's day. What does He want to do with you? I don't know what He wants to do with you, but I exhort you, encourage you to be faithful. I was at ease, but He broke me down. He broke me asunder, He said. He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. He's saying this, not literally, but He put him through the ringer, didn't He, as we call it. Job went through the ringer, and He set me up for His mark. I'm His mark. People are looking at me. Job, I don't know much about him, but he was a highly regarded man. He was a man of integrity. The people knew that he was a man of integrity. People looked up to Job, and God set him up to a mark for as His mark. People looking up to this man, just see how he reacts. Can God trust you and I to put us in a place like that? So people can see how we react, how we handle it, how we go through it. Your soul's in your hand continually. I submit to you that we do live in a dangerous world. It's a dangerous time. And there's a lot of challenges that are coming our way. There's more ahead of us if the Lord allows time to go on. Got to have it forever settled, don't we? You know, there's a song in our book that says, "I'm fighting in the army of the Lord. And though dangers quickly round my pathway lie, I shall never faint or fear, for my Jesus is so near. I've enlisted in the service till I die." Till I die. Lord, help us to be faithful to that, folks. Enlisted in the service, I will press the battle on till the victory is won. If you don't have the victory today, you keep pressing. He's going to give you the victory. He's going to bring you out into a wealthy place. And He said, "I reach my crown and mansion by and by. By the grace of God, I know I shall conquer every foe. I've enlisted in the service. Until I get tired. Until I get weary. With all the challenges of life." That isn't what the song says, is it? Till I die. He set me up for a mark. God help us, each and every one, to be faithful and true to the Lord. like to look at a scripture over in the New Testament, Matthew, the 12th chapter. Jesus speaking to us here. He had talking to the fellows after they had asked him for a sign, and he called it an evil and adulterous generation. But I want to skip on down to the 43rd verse that says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Where we are today as a nation, as a people, we didn't get there overnight. We got there by steps. We got there by increments. Folks, he's talking about the spiritual condition of the nation or of Israel at the time. The house was well swept, but it was unoccupied. It is imperative, the dangers of our souls. It's imperative, folks, that when we give our heart and life to God, that we are continually seeking Him for grace every day. Asking Him to fill this vessel with His love, with His goodness, with His power, with His grace. We need that every day to seek the Lord, that when the enemy comes back after the Lord has rooted him out of our hearts and lives, and he comes back looking for a place of rest, that he's going to find that Jesus still lives there, that God is on his throne in your heart and in your life. Because if he doesn't, I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If we don't continually seek this glorious salvation, if we don't continually seek the presence of God, if we, you know, it's 101, salvation 101, I know. But folks, if we don't continually keep up our prayer life, no matter who we are, keeping our connection with God, you want that light to shine in your life, you've got to keep the connection fresh. You've got to keep all the things that would hinder that connection, the corrosion and all. You've got to keep it out. And the way to do that is to keep it fresh. Keep Christ and the Spirit of God fresh in your heart and lives. Oh, those seven spirits that Jesus talked about resulted in even a greater degeneration. A greater loss, a greater wickedness, a greater evil. Oh, the dangers of the soul, folks. My soul is continually in my hands. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And seeing to it that our soul is protected. The Apostle Paul encourages us to be a good soldier. This is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. He said, be a, not just a soldier, be a good soldier. Once you've given your heart and life to the Lord, you keep that up to date. You've got to keep working on that. You've got to keep nourishing that because you're going to be challenged. Who's to know when the enemy's going to come along and the Lord's going to allow him to bring the same kind of things on you that he did Job? What kind of losses are you going to suffer in your life? What kind of things are going to come along and break your heart? What are you going to be challenged with? It's a reality. As long as we live here, we're going to be challenged with some things. I like to think that, Lord, your track record is so good. I'm going to make the best decision that I know how to make, and then I'm going to leave it in your hands. My soul in your hands. He says it's in our hands and it is, but I want to put my soul in the hands of the hand of the one that made it, that gave it to me. I want to put it in his hands. I want to trust him fully and completely. It's imperative, folks. Imperative. You folk, poor people, have heard me say this so many times. It's imperative that we are honest with our soul. It's imperative that we're honest with God. Why am I choosing to do those things? Why do I make those kind of choices? Why do I follow that kind of a path? Am I really being honest with my soul? Well, the scripture says we'll give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're not. I'm going to leave out a lot of my little message this afternoon, but I want to look at this scripture. 12th chapter of Luke, verse 1. Jesus again. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I want to underline that here today. Beware. Beware of religion today. Beware of the spirits that are out there roaming around. Back in Job's day, the enemy was interested in touching his flesh, taking his children, taking his possessions. Folks, today the enemy is working to deceive every soul that he can. Every soul that he can. Beware means there's danger lurking. Be on your guard. It's a dangerous time, isn't it? Of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Do you know that piety, just for the sake of appearance, is useless? It's worthless. I can act the most pious person in the world. I might be able to come here even as your pastor for a little while, because saints have spiritual discernment, and maybe pull the wool over your eyes a few places. But folks, I want to tell you, that's foolish, isn't it? It's futile to try to fool people, and especially to try to fool God. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. Your soul is continually in your hands, folks. Protect it. Guard it. Be aware of it. As I started out in this little message this afternoon, you know, we know the highways are dangerous, and when we're going on a trip, we'll pray and ask the Lord for a safe journey. Once we get in there, we start talking to our children, our wives, our husbands, and we don't dwell on that. And I'm not saying you gotta dwell on this every day, but I'm saying you better get a purpose in your heart and in your spirit that you're gonna stand in the face of it all. That you're gonna stand true and faithful to God. You better get a purpose there. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you've spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed on the housetop. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. One of the greatest sadnesses that I see in our world today is the loss of the fear of God. Because they've lost the fear of God, they no more value life. They no more respect life. They no more respect things of others. But it's, if you feel good, do it time. Even if it means infringing on somebody else's rights, life, whatever it, possessions, whatever it might be. I want to say this afternoon, folks, Yes, there's some things out there that are fearful. But he said, fear God. That after he's killed, after you're dead, after you leave this world, he's able to destroy your soul. Your soul's in your hands, isn't it? It's in our hands, folks. It's up to us what we're going to do with that. May the Lord help us to be faithful, be on our guard, to be watchful, to be aware there is an enemy that's after you. And when you're distressed with the children, when you're distressed with a circumstance that you're dealing with life, you won't realize maybe, you won't even think, well, that's the enemy trying to get to me, trying to bring me down and get the best. But it's who it is. That's what's going on. The enemy's trying to get to you, to try to bring you down, to discourage you and cause you to be lost. He wants us all to be lost. I want to look back over here again in Job. I'm sorry, the book of Psalms, the 73rd chapter. I like these two verses. 73rd chapter of Psalms, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I don't put anybody else first before you, dear God. My flesh and my heart faileth. Are we so much different from him? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Forever, get it settled, Lord, folks, in your hearts. He is my portion. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh, I'm thankful for that today. He said, since we're close, I'll read this one verse, 84th Psalm. He said in the second verse, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I was sitting there in service earlier today, and I thought, as I was listening to what was being said, you know what the devil is destroying in people's lives today and in their minds? Is desire. Desire. Simple little thing like desire. They don't desire it anymore. They're not hungry for it anymore. Because he said, he that hungereth and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, didn't he? The desire is gone. The desires are for the things of the world. Everything but God. But he said here, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Is your heart like that today? Does God mean that much to you and I, folks? He ought to. He is surely worthy of that kind of worship to him. Okay, I want to close down here with the 13th chapter of Job. I don't usually read so many scriptures, but I've gotten in trouble for that in the past, so today we're using scriptures. Not in trouble, but 13th chapter of Job. I want to read a couple, three verses here. 14th verse. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Once again, I want to remind you the little message is my soul is continually in my hand. He said, therefore, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I can't think of anyone else. And I know there's been many others. I mean, I can think of others, but no one any more than Job that was faithful to keep his integrity with God. Mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Your soul's in your hands today. We need to be very careful how we handle it. We need to keep it safe. Keep it from the enemy. Put a wall. Ask the Lord to put a hedge about it. A wall of protection. A place of safety that the enemy can't get to it. because he's going to challenge you. He can't touch your soul, but he can touch your flesh. And he can take away your possessions. He can take away your pride and joy if the Lord permits it to be so. But it's my soul. In the midst of all that happens to me, and I ask for your prayers that I'll be able to do that. I don't know what I got to face yet. I don't know what I got to deal with yet, but that's the way that I want to deal with it. That's the way that I want to face it. Trusting God, not charging him foolishly, but giving him praise and glory and honor to his name, that his name would be lifted up in this world through my life, that I choose to live for him. May the Lord help us all to be faithful.